the rest of the story. The fire started in the boiler room of a planing mill. It was sometime between 10 and 11 o'clock Saturday night. Before firemen could get there, the mill was engulfed in flames. And worse yet, there were rickety frame houses in the area and a lumber yard and a paper box factory. This is the neighborhood insurance men called the Red Flash, and that night the district would reinforce its red-hot reputation as never before. This is the rest of the story. A second alarm summoned fire engines from farther away. Flames are now sweeping the sky, casting a lurid light over the horizon. Soon the entire city block would be gone. Fire Chief Williams just shook his head. He and his men were doing everything they could possibly do, but by then a third alarm had sounded, summoning the city's complete fleet of 17 fire engines, and the wind shifted to the southwest. The flames leaped for a second block and then a third. Buildings crumbled, sparks flew, billows of smoke rolled skyward. A nearby tavern owner, having decided that his establishment was done for, initiated an emergency all-drinks-on-the-house policy. And soon the local inebriates were expressing their gratitude by marching to the river with buckets and returning to heave water on the smoking tavern walls. The gathering crowd was enormous by now. Hundreds became thousands. It was the most spectacular Saturday night entertainment in the city's history. The police had little success in keeping the mob at a safe distance, and yet at some point the conflagration ceased to be entertaining and became instead a long and terrifying struggle. Three blocks and spreading, the sort of hell that just might swallow a city. By 3 a.m., the crowd was hushed. Four blocks are in flames now. 3:30 a.m., the fire was under control, although the firemen's work would not be over for another 12 hours. And so it was 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon that the devastated four-block landscape was smoldering its last, and the townsfolk were congratulating one another on their mutual good fortune. The blaze might have become a citywide holocaust. It was a warning, some said, and now the citizens must join hands in a pledge that such a fire must never be permitted to happen again. Some spectators had stuck out all 16 hours of the incendiary display, and when it was over that Sunday afternoon, the people returned home determined to prevent an encore. The memory of the flying sparks and the rolling smoke and the orange sky was only a memory now, and yet, if the urban dwellers would not forget what they had seen, surely together they could make good on the promise, never, ever again. I did mention, didn't I, that the fire was out, completely extinguished, as of 3 p.m. Sunday, October 8, 1871. Without knowing that, you can't properly appreciate what you're about to learn. That six blocks south of that leveled landscape, and less than 6 hours later, another fire began, a fire in Mrs. O'Leary's barn that would be the city's fatal blow. History records that the great Chicago fire of 1871, the most destructive conflagration in American history, got out of control because the firemen were exhausted. They were worn out from battling a separate blaze which began the night before. You've just been there. Only now you know the rest of the story.